throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Got a jam-packed show. We're going to talk a little LIV golf if we get to it, the LIV golf. They're having a bunch of media availability today with the players. We got word that Phil Mickelson is indeed the 48th man. Just lots to unpack here, and I don't know if we're going to have time to do it all today. Players are resigning from the PGA Tour. What? Why? What does that mean? Why are they doing it that way? Phil's not, but a bunch of those other guys are. I wonder why. What will it take to get more big names? Because let's be honest. Outside of Dustin Johnson, even Phil Mickelson is pretty well washed. So outside of Dustin Johnson, what's the intrigue as far as players there? It's kind of like a middling tour event field at max. So what's going to take for bigger names to join? And I want to know, is it media being hypocritical? Because, of course, they're destroying anybody that does this and the tour itself because of the money that's being taken from the Saudis. The Saudis are, you know, the horrible government of the Saudis. Yet, no word about China. And if we put those two side by side, I don't think that either human rights records would be something to write home about. So we'll talk about that at the end of the show. Softball and baseball from yesterday. Incredible night all across the board. I had a text from one of my OSU friends that just said, last night was being an OSU fan in a nutshell. Summed it up. That's what it's like to be an OSU fan. It's a total disappointment for sure on the OSU side. On the OU side, it's all unicorns and rainbows, just cruising right along. I got a lot of questions about that, though. And then I want to know about Kenny Chesney. That's where we'll start. 225. And, oh, by the way, Leland Searcy is going to come on. Recap Classic Bowl. He's got a golf tournament coming up. He was honored there at the game as well. So we got lots to unpack with Leland as well. That'll be here in about 10 minutes, about 9:20. We'll get him on the horn and talk about Classic Bowl and just the entire week and how that event has grown over the years up there in Woodward. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else is on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. Be outside the listening area. KADSAM.com is one way to stream us. Paragon app is the other. The app's got all the radio stations, got Penny News, got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV during the sports season. And then, of course, there's the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, KADSAM.com, there. All right, Jared, how's it going?
How are you? That thunder wake you up? Did you hear any of that thunder in
there? No, we didn't get any of that. It was overcast. I know my app went off at some point during the night to tell us we had a severe thunderstorm watch. I did not hear that. So then when I woke up, I looked and I went, whoa, because I had planned on. Here's the deal, Jared. It's time to get in a little bit better shape. And so I had set my alarm earlier than normal to be able to go out for a walk.
Oh, that's cool. Good for you.
And so I saw overcast. I was praying that it was raining in the devil part of my mind. It wasn't, so I went on a little walk.
Well, good.
But good. No, didn't your way get some rain a little bit? Or is it still east of you even?
It was still, we got all the thunder and lightning and maybe a little wind. It even knocked our power off momentarily. Not long. But it was enough to scare the kids into bed. But no rain. It didn't measure. We didn't get anything in the rain gauge. So, but anyways. And then I stayed up for all the action last night, all the way to the end of the OSU-Texas softball game. So I'm a little tired.
Yeah, there's no doubt about
I'm
that.
A little tired.
Last couple of nights, it stayed up a lot longer than normal watching sporting events. Enough of that. We'll talk about that later. I want to hear about Kenny Chesney. So you went to the concert this weekend.
Yeah.
Down
great.
In Dallas. Jerry World.
Yeah.
Was Kenny Chesney the best act you saw?
Yes. Yes. Yes, very, very much so. I mean, that's why we went. He puts on a high energy show, doesn't play any of his slow songs for the better part of 2.5 hours that he was on the stage. I mean,
whoa.
Just constantly going, constantly going. I guess the one slow song he played was Boys of Fall, and he said, hey, this was not on the set list, but we're in the home of the Dallas Cowboys. We got to play this song. And there's a cool moment that featured Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy and Jason Witten and a little kid that had a Jason Witten jersey on. That was pretty special. I was like, whoa, what did I just see? And by the way, if you ever wondered how big Dak Prescott is, he made Kenny Chesney look pretty dang small, just how tall and big. He's an NFL player. But no, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. The band, though, that was really fun. Now, Kenny was awesome, but the band Old Dominion.
Yeah.
I liked their tunes, but I didn't think, I was like, well, yeah, I'll look forward to seeing them. But man, they were overly impressive. Really fun, cool, loose band, you know. We got there. Carly Pierce was already started. They started the thing at 5 o'clock, and it went all the way till about 11:30. So, but Carly, we got there. She was already started. That's how you do it, because we're like, okay, well, she starts at 5. Well, what we're going to do is leave the hotel at 5.
Right.
There was no long line to get in because everybody, you know, that mass rush to get in was already taken care of. And so she was singing when we got in there. Then we had I had to sit through Dan and Shay.
That was a tough break for you in the order because if Dan and Shay would have went first.
It actually was Carly Pierce and then Old Dominion and then Dan and Shay. It should have been Dan and Shay first.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you could have left
Dan
a little later.
Plus Shay. What is – anywho. I'm over that.
Is that two dudes?
Yeah. Well, okay. If the hair looked like a bearded Shayer, this dude. But listen, they can sing and everything, but I'm not there to see a pop concert. You know, I was there for No Shoes Nation and Kenny Chesney and Country and Old Dominion, but they can go open for Justin Bieber, not Kenny Chesney. So I was just kind of like, okay, I'm over these guys, man. But once I got through that, then, you know, Kenny Chesney came on, and like I said, it was awesome start to finish. Had a good time.
Now, we had talked about the beer prices because that was such a hot topic for the PGA at Southern Hills.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Well,
I mean, I'm sure
we were doing. I didn't do the math.
I'm sure you just looked at the menu, and so you'll know.
I'm trying to remember how many ounces were in per beer.
Wasn't it a 16er? Wasn't it the aluminum
bottle? You know, yeah. Miller Lights.
I think it's 16
the caps.
Yeah,
okay,
16.
They're $11 a pop.
Oh,
yeah, $11.
Okay.
And that's dangerous stuff because our seats were perfect. We were right on the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
We walk out of our section, and there was the beer line. And right next to it was the restroom. We weren't walking a mile to get to the two most important things. So
Southern Hills was just barely more expensive. Barely, I was wrong on that one. I thought it would be one more dollar.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be 12. So yeah. 69 cents an ounce versus 72 cents an ounce.
So it was a fun night. It's nice to get away every once in a while.
Jerry World, better as a concert venue or as a football venue?
Well, I've been to two football games there. That was my first concert I've been in there. I leaned football. It was built for football and sports, but I guess it's a multi-event venue. No, it definitely can host concerts, but there were times I thought the acoustics in here are horrible. The echo was, I don't want to say horrible. When you know the songs, you could care less. Mm-hmm. You're hearing it. But sometimes, man, there's just way too much echo, and I'm struggling to hear her or his voice. But huge venue, and but for the enormity of what Kenny Chesney and his following is, I mean, it was packed. They call it a stadium tour for a reason. I think maybe they could have opened the roof. They had it closed up. Mm-hmm. But I think there was chances of rain later in the night down in Arlington, so they're playing it safe. But that probably would have helped with things. But the whole time I'm there, I'm thinking when I'm in my seat, I'm thinking, man, this would be a good see if there's a football game happening, you know, from where our location was. But don't get me wrong. I mean, the concert was great, but the acoustics were a little off. But that's us who wear headphones every day and hear this stuff. But I think it's better for football. And I think it was initially, you know, when you look at all the amenities in there, how that stadium's set up, it's set up to watch Dallas Cowboy football or the Cotton Bowl or whoever, you know, it's set up for that. But it does accommodate a large concert like that. So, but I lean football. Football was better seen in there.
Interesting.
They did use the big screen and everything.
Yeah.
You'd have to. But they had that on, and I found myself watching that big screen more than the actual stage, you know.
So how did they – was the stage kind of in the, like, 50-yard line, or was it
– No, it was in the end zone. It was in a end zone, mm-hmm. you know. It came all the way out, I would say, if the field was out there, maybe the 20, maybe further out.
Where they're actually – and then there were people actually on the field.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, standing room only. Yeah.
Were there people clearing the top?
There was some.
Man.
There was some, yeah.
There was a ton of people there.
There was.
Did you see anybody you knew?
No. That's funny. Me and my wife were saying, you know, we go to places like this, we always run into somebody we know. When we went to Jamaica, we ran into somebody we knew. And, no, we didn't see anybody. We didn't even know of anybody else who was going. Usually you hear about that. Like, hey, you're
yeah,
seeing
I saw,
it on
I can't
Facebook.
Remember who it was on Facebook. That's what, that, you know? There was a group of, I think, a group of ladies. I think it was Christy Harmon.
Oh, yeah.
And some ladies went down there.
Yeah, well, we didn't see anybody.
Would you go back to Jerry World for a concert?
Sure. Sure I would. I think a rock concert would be awesome in there. Just because how big rock music is.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And it.
Like the Foo.
Oh, that'd be great. By the way, Old Dominion covered a Foo Fighters song.
Did they really?
Yeah. Learn to Fly.
Good for Old Dominion.
Yeah. Little tribute to Taylor Hawkins. It was pretty cool.
Did they play I Was on a Boat?
Absolutely.
Good. They play it multiple times.
I'll have to show you a little video I did.
They should have played that one a few times. That's just like when you feel like the lull in the energy, just fire that one off. And
yeah.
I think that you pick everything right back up.
Yeah. They're a good band. I was you never see a band and you think, I forgot how many songs I knew of this band.
Right.
They're that band. Because they've been around a bit. And like, oh, I remember that song. Well, that's a good – they sing that? I didn't know they sung that. So found myself listening more Old Dominion after the concert than No Shoes Radio.
Old Dominion.
Good band. Recommend
right.
them.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it was good. And the perk of all that, I think I said this yesterday, my wife finally saw the new Texas Rangers Stadium.
Yeah, you too.
And I pointed out, I was like, hey, look, that roof is closed. Like, it's indoors? Like, yeah, it can be indoors or outdoors. Looks like it's closed today because they were playing Seattle on Saturday afternoon. And she kind of was like, well, and then on the way back Sunday, she's like, I think we should come back with the kids one more time before school starts, go to the baseball game.
Yeah, I mean, in the middle of July and August, it's not 4 million degrees there like it was in the cathedral.
Yeah. So you have the door shut and you're in it.
Yeah.
So we've found some dates, and we're going to make that happen.
I really wonder how much that's going to end up helping the Rangers attract people to play there. Because there was always the theory that pitchers didn't want to pitch in that heat in July and August, and that's why they always had to be a team that just bashed the baseball because they couldn't get the arms to come and throw.
Yeah. Well, they made a couple – they've acquired a couple of guys, not pitchers, but, yeah, they got to get those big-name pitchers in there. And those guys, was it Simeon and – I'm drawing a blank. Anywho, they're finally coming around. They're hovering around 500. And thanks to Angels' collapse, they're not the last team in the
Angels
in the AL West. So, I mean, hopefully by the time we go, they haven't sold the farm and we're looking at a bunch of rebuild characters out there. But it doesn't matter. It's just the experience. I was telling my kid about it. It's like, look at this. Showing pictures. And she just, whoa, we're going to try to go there? I'm like, yeah.
It's like a spaceship.
Yeah. So, yeah, fun times. And, man, they've done so much in that whole area in Arlington right there. That big Texas Live venue that's right next to the Rangers Stadium. And, of course, there's Jerry World, which is always impressive. Every time I go in there, I'm in awe. And, I mean, it's all right there. There's just so much to do. It was fun weekend. Quick weekend. Very fast weekend when you do a quick turnaround going down to Dallas and back.
Did you go to Bucky's?
No, it was out of the way.
Okay.
How we came in.
No go.
I do regret driving right by an In-N-Out Burger. Thought, why didn't I stop there?
Overrated.
We did stop at a Whataburger, though.
Underrated.
For breakfast.
Oh, even better.
Ooh, yeah.
Did you get the honey chicken biscuit?
No, it's got a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, but that egg tasted like
fresh
grandma
egg.
Just cooked it.
All right, Leland's coming up next.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street, Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug. And I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
It's in the hole!
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Pleased to be joined now by longtime official, guy that's been instrumental with the officials versus cancer, also the Classic Bowl stuff up in Woodward last 10 days or so, Mr. Leland Searcy. Leland, how are you this morning, man?
I'm good, Skinny. How are you guys?
Wonderful. It's nice and overcast. We missed the rain this time, but that's okay. At least it's not 100 degrees at 9:20 in the morning like it can be sometimes this time of year.
Yeah, that's right. The weather's been good, no doubt.
Hey, tell us a little bit about Classic Bowl Week, how that all went, and some of the new things you guys added, and what maybe you're looking at doing as we move along here.
Well, we decided this year, we were thinking this in 2019, and we were putting it all together for the 2020, and obviously we canceled the Classic Bowl because of the pandemic, and then 2021, we just didn't get it done. I mean, for no other reason and no other excuse, we just didn't get it done, but we put it together this year. And we added boys and girls golf on Saturday before the Classic Bowl, so it was exactly 1 week prior to the football game. We had 18 golfers at Bowling Springs Golf Course, and that kicked off Classic Bowl 34 at Bowling Springs. And then Monday, Memorial Day, which we think is Memorial Day, is kind of a baseball holiday. So we did our softball game at 1 o'clock there at Woodward High School, and wow. Softball in Oklahoma is an easy sell. You guys know that. So we had about 450 people at the softball game. It was incredible. And a great game, 3-2. The ball game was a pitching duel between four different pitchers from each side, two on each side. And we had two home runs. To get this, we had two home runs hit in the game. And it was late in the game, fourth and the fifth inning, by two girls named Alana and Elena. Elena Long from Fairview was a pitcher. She was, if we would have given MVP for the game, she would have been the one. She was throwing it up there about 60 miles an hour, and then she hit a two-run home run to lead her team to the 3-2 victory. Then Alana Noble from Moreland, she hit a solo blast in the next inning. So it was a real good game, 3-2, like I said. And then baseball was that night at Fuller Park in Woodward. It's a really nice facility. Jordy Mercer threw out the first pitch, and his family has jumped on board with us to provide the scholarship money for the baseball scholarship. So we give two golf scholarships on Saturday. We give a baseball and a softball on Monday. And then we kicked off Classic Bowl Old School, Tuesday girls basketball, Thursday boys basketball, and then Saturday was the parade and football game. So full week of good, high quality kids. That's what I'm going to say. The best and the brightest is what we call them. And this group all week was just outstanding to work with. They were great.
Yeah, we read in the rosters, and there's some names that we're familiar with covering down here, and you know, we know those are good kids. And you said it perfectly, because we're like, well, no surprise he's there, no surprise she's there. I mean, that she's a good kid, and or they get good grades, and always excelled on the court or in the field. So no shock they're at Classic Bowl.
Right. Well, I tell you, we have a selection committee for every sport, and that selection committee does their due diligence. They do their homework, and they look in with the coaches. They check with the school principals and athletic directors to make sure we're not bringing somebody here that doesn't deserve to be here, because we don't know those kids in their communities like some people do. I mean, even you guys going out and seeing them, you see Canute, you see Elk City over and over and over. We don't. You know, I'm an official. I see them once a year or twice a year. So it's good. The selection committee does do a good job, really, really good job.
Yeah, I mean, for those down here that aren't as familiar with the Classic Bowl format, I mean, you're talking about, I think I heard you say, like 90-something schools in, you know, the tri-state area down all the way to I-40 represented up there throughout that week.
Yes, 87 okay. schools. 87 schools are in the Classic Bowl. And gosh, they go from Boise City, Felt, Oklahoma out west, and all the way to Cashin to the east, and Perry to the basically straight east. And yeah, like I said, Elk City, Merritt, Weatherford, Clinton, and Kingfisher kind of stretches over to the Kingfisher Cashin area and then back up. So it covers a pretty good swath. And you guys know as well as I do, when you have that big of a territory, and don't leave out Southwest Kansas, South right. Central Kansas, Southwest Kansas, and the Texas Panhandle. You got Canadian football kids, for God's sake. And it covers a wide swath, and you can really. You can really beef up some rosters pretty fast.
Not to mention the band, too. I got to give a shout-out to the band, because I attended Classic Bowl as a band member way back. So right. Always a cool band, cool halftime show during that football game.
Yes, the band, I'm telling you, the band is so remarkable. It is incredible what they get done. They check in Thursday morning. This year, because we had them here in Woodward, the past 34 years, we've had the band in Woodward, and we let people in Woodward take them into their homes. Well, when you get COVID going on, you can't really say, hey, will you take this kid in with COVID going on? So last year we decided we need to do something different, and so we hosted them here. But what we did this year is we sent them to Northwestern and put them in the dorms.
Oh, okay.
And Northwestern opened their arms up and welcomed them in. They stayed in the dorms there. They practiced on the football field there. They stayed there Thursday, Friday, and drove to Woodward on Saturday. Come to the parade, and then they marched in the football game. And I'm telling you, Brian Britt, the band director at the University of Oklahoma, directed the band this year. He's directed it several times. But what they do in 72 hours is nothing short of incredible. It's just they march the pattern that they put together on Thursday, and they do a great job on Saturday night. It's incredible. And Jared, you know how the band works. There's a ton of moving parts in that thing. So it's good. They do a good job. Great job.
They do what you in that short amount of time, what sometimes takes weeks just for one show. Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
We had a 225 member band, if that tells you anything.
Wow.
Try to get 225 17 and 18 year olds on the same page in 3 days. It's crazy. So, yeah. But hey, and the football game did not disappoint.
Well, how'd it go?
15 to 14. The West team beat the East team 15-14. And the kids were just incredibly good. The coaches were good. We couldn't have drawn it up any better. It was really a fun game to watch. There were some big plays in the game. There was a halfback pass for a touchdown. So it had a few exciting plays in it. So that's good.
We're hanging out with Leland Searcy. Now, before the game, the football game, you were presented from the state of Oklahoma a citation for your commendation of service. Surprise to you, I suppose. Didn't know that was coming.
Had no idea. Had no idea that that was going to happen. Typically, they introduce the officials a few minutes before kickoff. We come across from the opposite side, from the visitor side, come across. They do a group picture of the officials. Then we go get ready for kickoff. And next thing I know, these two guys are grabbing me and say, hey, we need to do something right quick. And I was like, okay. So, and then here they throw this at me, and it was very generous of those two guys. I've known those two guys. I've known Mike Dobrinsky for probably 35 years. He's the state representative from O'Keene, and I've known Carl Newton now for about 10 years. He's an eye doctor from Cherokee. And so those guys are just incredible people. They're doing a great job at the State House, obviously, and I really appreciate what they did. It meant a lot. It meant a lot to me. I'm refereeing two more years of football, but my basketball career is over, and it just meant a lot that they did what they did and recognized the things that I've done. And I don't do those things for recognition. I do them because our kids need them for pediatric cancer, and people need to go referee a couple games just to give back to the game that somebody had to do it when they was a kid. So that's what I did. So,
speaking of officials versus cancer, you guys got the golf tournament coming up. Horrible time for us this year, but maybe next year we can get involved because it's right the day before our golf tournament here. But tell us, July 8th over in Perkins.
July 8th at Cimarron Trails at Perkins. And this year, this is our third year to have a golf tournament. And I'm telling you, we've had numerous people step up and donate prizes. And rounds of golf at Belmar, rounds of golf all over the state, Arrowhead, Chickasaw Point. I mean, that's just scratching the surface. But our golf tournament is a fundraiser for pediatric cancer, and we will make that donation the 23rd of July at our annual conference in Oklahoma City, and we're really looking forward to the golf tournament. We've got a few more teams than we had last year, so it's getting better every year.
Now, refresh the folks that haven't heard you before. You kind of got involved with that, started that Officials versus Cancer, and as it has grown, you guys have come across someone that is willing to match donations up to $500,000. Is that correct?
That's correct. He matched our donation last year, so we have four more years of this. He will match our donation up to $500,000 the next 4 years. So we've got an incredible, incredible opportunity in front of us. And I can tell you that Lon Kruger was my spokesperson, our spokesperson the 4 years to start this. And he retired from coaching basketball at OU. Now we Jim Traber is our guy. And you know, if you want a guy that's going to get the word out there, he's the man, right? He doesn't mind talking about it at any time. I can call him at any time and say, Jim, I need to update you on some stuff. He goes, let's go on there and do it. And man, he's just been great. He built a video for us, and it's just been hit. We're 23% ahead of last year where we were last year at this time on donations. So it's been a good year. So hopefully we can maximize the potential here and make a good donation to the pediatric cancer center there at Children's in July.
Now, how do people get involved with that?
Well, it's real easy. If you want to, and anybody can donate. Anybody can donate. If you have Venmo, which a lot of people do, you can donate through Venmo, and the access code is OK Officials VS Cancer. OK Officials VS Cancer. And you know what we do? We ask for $20 donations because our strength is in the numbers. You can give 40, you can give 50, you can give 100, whatever you want to give. And we have people do that, but we're asking for $20 donations. And you can go through the Venmo and donate it. And we're a 501c3 not-for-profit organization. and it's 100% tax deductible. So it's for a great cause. You know, this is something I just received from Children's in 2015. Now, we didn't start till 17, but this is a statistic they give me. In 15, 56% of the kids that entered the hospital were treated and beat cancer. And that means 44% obviously didn't make it. Today, it's the success rate is 83%. So 8 out of 10 kids that walk in there are walking out healthy, and they ring the bell and they beat cancer. So we're shooting for 100%. We got to get to that 100%. We got to get there quick.
It's just awesome. The advances for everything. And there's no doubt you guys have been a part in helping that with what you've done with the Officials Versus Cancer since 2017. Man, what did you think last night? As just a sports fan watching, how cool was it to see baseball, softball, both in-state schools having chances to play for a national title in the softball field and to move on in the Supers in baseball?
I thought I was disappointed. I'm not going to lie. I was disappointed. I wanted Oklahoma State in there. My wife is the biggest softball fan you've ever seen in your life. She goes, I'm doing Classic Bowl. She's at the World Series.
Yeah.
She goes, you got a season ticket to the World Series. So we wanted OU-OSU in the championship game. And, yeah, we're let down because of that. But OU-Texas, I don't know. That's the second best two teams that we could get in there, right, for Oklahoma City. That place is going to be packed. It's going to be crazy. Nobody needs to tell anybody about the rivalry. And, you know, I just hated to see OSU lose that game last night the way they lost it, you know, throwing the ball around. And it just kind of turned my stomach a little bit to see. Kenny Gajewski is a friend of mine, and he's a great guy. He's an OU guy, you know, and he's built that program, and you just hated to see them lose that game that way.
Yeah, it almost felt like it was just destiny that both teams lost the first game, come back and win the second game, and we get to see 3 days, hopefully 3 days, of Bedlam competition. And quite honestly, for the sport, I think it would have been better to see Oklahoma State win that series, just to kind of slay the dragon, because you know in this country we either like Goliath, but we really love David. At the end of the day,
really love David. That's right.
And so, you know, it's going to be Texas instead of OSU. And I think, on the softball field anyway, because of Gajewski and because of the respect that he has gained, really with the OU fans as well, being an OU guy, I think that'd have been a little bit easier to stomach if it didn't happen for the Sooners, if it was OSU to beat them.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been. And, you know, I tell you another thing is Skip Johnson at OU.
Man.
Gosh, he's put together a standout, stellar season, hasn't he? I mean, and just I'm gonna let you guys in on something, and this is gonna go out through your radio. But I have a good friend that son works in the baseball department down there, and Joe Castiglione had a meeting with Skip last May after they got through the season and said, "Hey, you know, this is the fifth year. We're giving you another year, but we better do good." I mean, he gave him the do good speech, the do better speech.
Right.
And God dang, he did better. He won what, 4 or 5 straight series, won the tournament, and played well in Florida. I mean, scored runs when they needed to. And of course with Skip, we all knew he was gonna have good pitching, right?
Right.
His pitching's always gonna be good. But the Sooner bats woke up and they played well. They played well for a month and a half. So congratulations to the Sooners. And you know, the Cowboys fell a little short. I'm assuming they ran out of pitching. Josh said that we didn't know who was going to pitch when they got to the clubhouse, because he said he would just go down through the staff and say, "Is your arm okay? Is your arm okay?"
Yeah.
And so they obviously ran out of pitching. So, but it was a good day. And I spent the evening in Elk City watching my grandson play baseball. But it's still a good day for softball and baseball in the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah, it was happening all over the place, even right here in. That's where I know I'll be tonight, in the same spot, watching a little bit of baseball. Leland, thank you so much for your time. Thanks so much for what you guys are doing with the Pediatric Cancer Classic Bowl. A heck of a success, it sounds like to me, up there in Woodward last week.
Yes, and I appreciate you guys letting me come on and talk about it. It's obviously it's are moving forward. We're going to do the same thing we did. We might move the golf date to another date. We're going to look at that here in a couple weeks at a meeting. But it was a good week. And anytime you can honor kids of the tri-state area, you can mark me down. I'm in.
All right, man. I'm sure we'll cross paths at some point this summer on the softball or baseball field. Either one.
You guys take it easy and have a good summer.
All right. Thank you very much. Our man Leland Searcy, longtime official, ended his basketball officiating career this year. Two more years worth of football. Hopefully we'll run across him this year in football.
I hope so. You know, great guy doing great things.
Think about some of the power packed matchups that the Elks are going to have in the early going there.
Whew. Yeah.
Seems like that crew would be
pretty. Yeah, you want a good crew for
kind of the one you might want.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully we get him. And his sound equipment.
That's right. Makes us look better. Makes us sound better,
Makes
that's
us sound
for sure.
Better.
All right, we come back. We'll hit the baseball and the softball, maybe a little LIV golf. We may save the golf for tomorrow. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Hey, welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Man, what a day yesterday was for the state of Oklahoma. Two teams in the semifinals of the Women's College World Series right here in Oklahoma City. You had OSU hosting a do-or-die game to get to the Super Regionals. OU was down in Gainesville, Florida, in the exact same situation, a do-or-die game to get to the Super Regionals. And the way it worked out, it was a fun day if you were wearing crimson and cream, and really a heartbreaker if you were wearing the orange and black. Let me ask you this. What was the more surprising outcome to you? OSU losing twice or OU winning in Florida in that do-or-die game?
I think there was a possibility OSU could. I was a little shocked they lost twice. I thought there was a possibility that they could split. But the way the OU game went, I know they were hot, but it was in Gainesville. You're playing the host team in Florida, and then you know when they got down, and you know then the rain delay, and then I thought, well, now that allows. We kind of talked about that yesterday. You know that game first pitch was at noon. And then how long was that delay?
It finally got back in their way, what, like 7:45?
Yeah. And I thought, well, now the crowd probably showed up somehow, you know. But I guess that rain delay is what OU needed. I wonder if they went and got in the batting cage, stayed loose, calmed down maybe, and had that big four-run inning and held on to win. I don't know if that's shock. I think I'll go back. I'm going kind of talking on both sides of my face here, but I think the OSU loss and the way they lost, Leland kind of mentioned it, that one error, just that knife in the gut error that cost him the game, ultimately cost him the game. And, you know, when you had the best pitcher, some would argue the best pitcher in the country, and to lose it like that with her pitching – I mean, you kind of see in her face, like, what? I'm doing everything I can. And everyone's booting the ball around, throwing it everywhere. Just very uncharacteristic from that OSU team. So I'll say that was more shocking. Because OU baseball, they were hot. And they remained hot. The bats came alive at the right time. And a lot of people picked them to advance out of that regional. But OSU, a lot of people picked them to get in the finals. And they kind of just beat themselves. So that was more shocking to me.
Yeah, me too. Just the fact that they lost both.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't give OU much chance baseball-wise just because of the way it almost felt like they were so hot. And then the first inning of Sunday's game, when they had the bases loaded, nobody out, a chance to step on Florida's throat.
Yeah.
And Florida wiggled off the hook with no runs, and then the Gators win 7-2. It almost felt like, okay. This has been a cute little story. Great job. And then yesterday it was pitching duel, 2-1, and then got to the seventh inning, and you know, you stopped for 6 hours or whatever it was, and then Florida came back, got one in the seventh, and then that 4-run 8th that propelled Oklahoma to the win. But it's OSU softball. I mean, I thought they were the second best team in the country, and when you give that team with that pitcher two shots at it against a team that they'd won all four games against this year, to see them lose them both, especially after being ahead 5-0 in that second game. I mean, didn't it feel like deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra would say, when OSU came back out and did what OU did early in the early going against UCLA? It felt like, okay, this is exactly – I mean, they're just following the exact same script that the Sooners did.
Yeah.
Lose the first one, come out, on top early,
right,
and just kind of strangled the life out of Texas. And then, you know, the 3-run home run, it was almost like that moment – in Rocky IV, where he's cut. He's not a robot. Kelly Maxwell is human. And then everyone around her proved to be as well in that faithful fifth inning on the two-error play that ended up scoring 3 runs. And then the OSU bats were silent after that, and they couldn't find a way to manufacture 1 or 2 to get into the championship series. So, for me, that was the most surprising thing. Which, if you're an OSU fan right now, which loss hurts the most? Is it that softball loss, or is it the baseball one?
Maybe the baseball one. Because of all the preseason expectations, this was in Stillwater. I don't know, maybe some of it was the blow was softened because of what we talked about. All the pitching that was exhausted in the games leading up to this, what was left in the tank? You know what I mean? So, but you know, OSU softball, this is a heck of a run this season, despite the loss, despite the outcome. I mean, that's a heck of a run, and they've proven that they're probably perennial contenders in this thing as long as Gajewski is there. And OSU should, you know, it feels disappointing because the talk all year was Omaha, Omaha, Omaha. And they came up short in their own ballpark. So that feels like that stings a little more.
I totally agree for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, let's be honest. This was a disappointing season for OSU baseball. This team was an Omaha or bust type team. And they didn't even make it out of their own regional that they hosted. It's a disappointment. There's no other way to say it. It is disappointing with what this OSU baseball team accomplished versus what they were built to be, and quite frankly, what they were until about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, top five nationally throughout a bunch of the season. Then they kind of stumbled through toward the end. I mean, at least the softball team, I mean, it was the way they lost that game was heartbreaking. There's no doubt about that. But at least they accomplished something, right?
Right.
I mean, they accomplished making their way to the World Series for the third straight year. And the second thing I would say about that is this. It doesn't look like it now because it got beat out in the regionals, but didn't you feel like OSU baseball had a better chance to win the whole thing than OSU softball just simply because of the monster that is OU softball? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that it just it felt like, to me, the best they OSU softball came up one win away from the best they could be, which was in that series. And of course, if you're in it, then you give yourself a chance, and who knows what happens. But it's still that monster that is Patty Gasso's team. Whereas OSU baseball, nowhere near what we thought they could be, and what they thought they could be, and what they expected to be. Now, I think it was a tough break with what they got in a regional round. I mean, who didn't? The announcer said it over and over last night, and they were exactly right. The 3 games with OSU and Arkansas felt like a super regional. It was just a week earlier. With the quality of those teams, the way those games were played. I mean,
do we have that feeling when we saw Arkansas was coming to Stillwater?
100%. Yeah. Yes. No doubt about it. Like, whoa. I mean, Arkansas was number 2 in the nation on, April 9th, I think they said. And And now they were the second seed in a regional that, oh, by the way, wasn't a very far drive for them. OSU's softball, I think the loss last night was more excruciating, but I think the biggest disappointment has to be the baseball team. How disappointed are you that we're not getting Bedlam?
I think I would be more disappointed if the consolation prize wasn't Texas.
Yeah.
You know, if it was OU versus Arizona or whoever, you know, I'd be more disappointed. But we'd rather see the in-state teams play for a national title in OKC. I mean, that is storybook stuff right there. And that'd be packed and it'd be fun. Guess what? Still going to be packed. It's Texas. It's OU. The rivalry goes unsaid. We know all about it. I'm a little disappointed. I mean, little to medium disappointed. I'm happy that, okay, if it's not OSU, sure, let's get Texas in, because that's going to be some fun storylines too.
That's the reason why I'm not totally disappointed. But I still am. I'm pretty disappointed because I was looking forward to that, and I really think they're the two best teams. I really do, especially with Maxwell. Being able to kind of maybe neutralize the OU bats as much as anybody has. Question: chance for Bedlam baseball? No, not till the World Series. They'd have been on the opposite sides.
Yeah,
that's right.
I was looking at that this morning.
Yeah, because Florida was 13, not 12. I was thinking they were 12. They were 13.
Right.
So they'd have been on opposite pods in the World Series. And did Stanford end up winning?
Yes, they did.
Okay, so let's say, because I was just thinking about the blown possibility for OSU on the baseball side if that happened. You know, UConn upset Maryland, so that's one team out of their pod that was a seed. And then if Texas State would have beat Stanford.
Well, Stanford had to come back to do it.
Say 4-3.
I think it was a walk-off situation.
Was it? Yeah. When I went to bed, I think it was 2-1, Texas State, or maybe 2-2, the last score I saw. It was 1-1 because, yeah, Texas State scored 2 in the ninth and Stanford answered with 3. It was 1-1 the whole time. That's right. They hit the home run early while OSU was still playing to tie it. But anyhow, I mean, that, you know, then you look at that opportunity that's blown with what you might have been able to see if you were able to get past North Carolina. But I was really looking forward to Bedlam. You know, this is two straight years now that we came into June or the end of May with the thoughts of men's golf and softball having Bedlam finales, and we haven't got to see it in either one of them yet. And yeah, this was the closest opportunity that we've gotten with both teams in the driver's seat yesterday. Leland mentioned Skip Johnson. Man, I got to tell you, the accomplishment that he's been able to pull off here with OU baseball is shocking. Think about what has happened against his team. One of the major reasons why OU didn't get to host?
Because, RPI was not good.
Yeah, and you know what hurts that? Selling the damn series down the road against Texas.
Yeah, that was noted. So that was a point of emphasis. So if they had hosted that series in Norman, that RPI almost was – regardless of outcome, the RPI would have been higher.
Yeah, and so because the fan base is so apathetic toward it, they had to sell it to make money, to try to recoup the money that they wouldn't have gotten.
Yeah.
And then that costs you hosting. And then you put together this run after the Bedlam series loss and a series that you probably had a chance to win the way some of those games ended. And then all of a sudden, you go from there, winning 5 straight, winning the Big 12 tournament. Man, just the turnaround. And, you know, the arms have been good, but the bats finally showed up. And that's been a big part of it. It's a question how Reggie Willits, that's a great question. That'd be something I'd have to look up. I knew that he was there, but I'm not sure how long he's been.
What's the question?
Reggie Willits. How long has he been at OU running the offensive part of Skip Johnson's plan?
Wasn't he brought on just a couple
years ago?
A couple years ago. Yeah. I mean, he's built a great staff around him, and the recruiting. I've mentioned this.
This season.
He was brought in this season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that was right. Wasn't too long.
I knew it wasn't very long.
No. You know, and his son's coming from Fort Cobb, and recruiting. We mentioned Caden Powell plans on playing baseball over there. But what I was going to say was, you know, I mentioned it yesterday about that game yesterday. It could be pivotal because of for recruiting and for the perception of the program. Right now, everybody is, when we're doing it just now, they're praising what Skip Johnson has done. And people are going to see that, and the players are going to go, you know what, I want to go play for that guy. And look what he's doing over there in Norman. It could be one of those turning points for the program and for Skip Johnson in OU baseball. And maybe facilities will come later.
Yeah, and Jim mentioned that yesterday, that he has a source that, you know, it's at least being discussed to be able – and quite frankly – It has to happen. Otherwise, I mean, OU's having a hard time being relevant in the Big 12. They're about to move to the SEC.
Yeah.
And that's a totally different animal. And, man, if you're starting somewhere on deck in the dugout versus on first or second or third base heading into that conference, it's going to be one of those things that's going to be really hard to dig out of. That hole you've created for yourself is going to be massive. And so you're right. I mean, the exposure that comes with winning that game yesterday, being in a super regional, and then if you can somehow find a way to get through Virginia Tech, then all of a sudden you're back in the College World Series for the first time since what, 2012, 2011, 13, something like that. Yeah, it was in there. So, you know, first time in a decade. Essentially, yeah, now you're getting yourself back out on the map, and then, you know, what comes with winning? New stuff.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was a huge, huge win for the future of what OU baseball is hoping to be as they make the shift from the Big 12 into the SEC. Speaking of the SEC, they're an even better softball conference than I realized.
They're a better softball conference?
Than I realized.
Okay.
They started the tournament with 12 teams. 12 of the 14. 13, actually. I don't think 13 play softball.
In the NCAA.
In the NCAA tournament. They started with 12. None of their original 12 are still alive, but somehow they have both participants in the championship series.
Oh, that's funny. I had to think about transfers in or something. No, I see what you did.
That's how great the SEC is.
Well, they're probably down there beating their chest saying SEC.
Will there be a chant at any point in the championship series?
I asked that question, but if the OU and Texas fans were going to hold hands and chant SEC at the Cotton Bowl last fall.
I figured they'll just probably hold hands around the stadium and sing Kumbaya, won't they?
You'll probably see that before we see that, the SEC chant. The first time it's an SEC game, we might see it.
Are they going to be required to? Is Mike Slive Greg Sankey going to fly in for the championship series and kind of hold like a demonstration? Hey, maybe we can get the Aggie Yell Leaders to come and show everybody how to do it.
I'd rather do the SEC chant than that.
No, I'm talking about showing how to do the SEC chant with the little milkman.
Texas fans wouldn't have that. Vaxi Sankey coming in, laying the helicopter on the 50, grabbing a mic. Okay,
I'm talking about
at
the softball game here.
Oh, at the softball game.
Yes, I'm talking about this week.
I thought I was talking about football.
No, I'm talking about the softball game. Because you only do it for championships, Jared.
Will the games be on the SEC Network?
I bet you the replays will at some point in life.
At some point. Classic SEC game when it wasn't. That is funny.
Will the SEC logo be on the field?
You know, there might be because they're going to talk about it. They're going to find somebody in the crowd with a sign that says SEC on it. You know what I mean? Oh, by the way, this is what the SEC is getting. A couple of teams are playing for national titles.
Question, could they change their mind about the SEC? Answer, hell no. Did you see the revenue distribution this week from the Big 12?
No.
$42 million.
Per
school? Per school. You know what that number is going to be when the new deal kicks in for football in the SEC?
Ooh, what?
Somewhere between 80 and 100.
Yeah, no. They're not backing out of this.
No.
No chance.
That's why.
No chance. Money talks.
Yeah, there's doubling the money, and it's going nowhere.
No. It's only going to add to it. It's going to be more over time.
Did you see the Clay Travis article? I'll leave you with this, and then okay. You can ponder. Did you see that?
No.
On OutKick?
No.
He wrote an article yesterday. Let me find the title of it so I don't. And this is something everybody can read and go look at and think about. And it was talking about this exact topic with the SEC. And where did it go? Where did it go? Where did it go? Where did it go? He was basically pro. Here it is. Because of the NIL, paying college football players is here to stay. It's just going to happen. It always has happened, but now it's above board, you know. Should the SEC football teams spin off from their schools and just become a for-profit league? Read it, digest it. We can talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll talk live golf as well. After all the sound bites we'll get today, it'll be a hot topic. Phil, did you see the meme?
No.
So Tiger Woods, we would all agree that in the era of making money, Tiger Woods is king of making money from playing golf.
Right.
Dustin Johnson's contract with the Live is more than Tiger Woods has ever made on the golf course.
I want to fact check that.
Have a great Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.